This is Changemakers with Katie Gore, finding the right solutions for the affordable housing community.
My guest this week is changemaker Barbara Fields, the Vice President of Housing and Asset Building at Apt Associates, a global consulting and research firm that combines data and bold thinking to improve the quality of people's lives. Barbara brings 30 years of experience in executive roles in federal and state government and nonprofit organizations. Barbara, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
It's great to have you here. And Quidel and Apt have been partners working together for years now. And I want to get started with your background and really get to know you more and let our listeners know more about you. How did you come to work at Apt?
Thank you for asking that question. I coming out of graduate school, had said that I didn't want to work in housing. So here I am, 35 years later, having spent my career in this incredible work that I'm very passionate about. I graduating in the mid to late 80s, and housing was on the agenda in Massachusetts, where I was in school. And I got started in the work, and as others who have appeared on the show, I've listened to say, you get hooked. It's incredible work. And I was fortunate earlier in my career to be recruited to LISC, and was inspired by Paul Grogan and the mission there to really work on housing as part of comprehensive community development, which really became my passion. Spent 20 years at LISC doing a variety of things, which we can talk about, from housing to childcare to organizational development, and then was asked to join the Obama administration and spent 3.5 years at HUD as the regional administrator. And that was incredible, being able to go across New England. Then following that, I came back to Rhode Island, where I live, and was head of the Rhode Island Housing, the state's housing finance agency. Left that and was at a community foundation in central Massachusetts. So and actually brought a lot of housing to that organization, which was a lot of fun. But Apt recruited me a year ago, and I came to Apt because Apt is really doing the evaluations, the research, the work that can move the agenda forward. And Apt is multi-sectoral. It's not just about housing for me and for communities, and it's not just about housing here at Apt. We really do have a broad footprint.
I want to dive deep into what Apt is doing and some of that research, but I have a quick question, because anytime sure. I have somebody who's been appointed by President Obama, I want to dive deep and get some information about like what that was like when you were the regional administrator for HUD. You know, what type of work were you involved while at HUD?
Well, as a regional administrator, you're really the link from the region to the secretary. And I was fortunate to work with Secretary Sean Donovan, and we were able to go to D.C. Back in the days, remember when we did meetings in person? Remember those days?
Oh, yeah.
So we would go once a month. We would meet with the assistant secretaries. We would meet with each other to learn what's going on around the country and with the secretary, what their priorities were. And we really got to get up to speed on things. But for me, the most exciting thing was to be out in the region as a liaison. I went from northern Maine to, you know, southern Connecticut, meeting with senators, governors, mayors, people at the municipal level implementing HUD programs. I got to meet with nonprofit leaders, developers, others, contractors, anyone and everyone involved in the work of building housing and other community development efforts at the local level. And that to me was great. I'm all about relationship building, and many of those relationships, Katie, that I built in those years are people that I'm still engaged with today. It was an exciting time also because of several initiatives in the Obama administration, one being the Choice Neighborhoods, which linked housing to other neighborhood efforts, and the Sustainable Communities efforts that linked housing and transportation and environmental issues together. So those were some really exciting initiatives in addition to the myriad of programs that HUD is responsible for.
So you're probably seeing a major crosswalk into some of that work there that you did at HUD and now with what you're doing at APT. For people who don't know much about APT or some of our listeners, why don't you tell us more about the work that you guys do?
APT is over 50 years old, founded in Cambridge, now based in Rockville, Maryland. We really are, as you described, a national and international research and evaluation company looking to help our clients tackle some of the more challenging issues. We are a trusted partner with federal, state, and local government, as well as with nonprofit partners around the country and around the world. We do both short-term studies and evaluations, as well as longitudinal studies. And we're also a technical assistance provider. Working in my area, we work a lot with HUD on a variety of programs helping housing authorities and local municipalities figure out how to draw down the monies that are at HUD and put them to effective and efficient use in communities. So we really span that range from research and evaluation to technical assistance.
So from that vantage point of research and technical assistance, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on maybe what the biggest challenge is for affordable housing from that particular angle.
For me, a particular passion is the connection that it all begins at home for individuals. So we have a major supply issue in this country at this point, and you read about it every day, right? You pick up the newspaper, you turn on the radio. So there really is an effort to look at what can be local housing solutions, federal housing solutions. What can we do to increase supply, but what can we do to increase access? Obviously, in this country, as you probably know, the work that you do, Katie, is only one out of every four income eligible families can get access a voucher, so to help them pay their rent. And we do a lot of studies with HUD on the voucher program, what's working, what's not working, how to make it more effective, really looking at the different opportunities to enhance and improve that program. But as an aside, I mean, we give food stamps to all income eligible families in this country, but we don't give housing assistance. So that is also a major issue. So we have both a supply side and a demand side problem as well.
And then if you even layer in the investment to the current stock, you know, as far as capital improvements, reinvestment, preservation, you know, there's that whole tension there. Are agencies, you know, whether it's a housing authority or whether it's a nonprofit, we've even had numerous faith-based organizations, you know, Catholic Charities, National Church Residents, you know, everybody on this continuum of affordable housing who's working together. Are there areas that we're missing in the research that you think should be investigated more?
Well, thank you for that thoughtful question. I will say that certainly the connection between the demand and the need for housing and rental and homeownership opportunities and the racial wealth gap in this country and racial equity are front and center. And we are doing several things along those lines, but there needs to be even more done, obviously. Two other issues would be the connection between housing and climate action. And we are doing some work with HUD on that and have been, as well as looking at housing and the delivery of services would be the third category, I would say, and we are doing some work on that, on how this impacts developments and properties around the country. You know, what are the things that people need so they can live better, healthier lives in the communities that they're living in? So there's a variety of those different areas that I think we are doing work and we need to do more of.
I'm glad you mentioned those three. I actually listened to a panel that you were on about climate change and local governments. It was very insightful. And I believe in that talk you said there was a history of locating housing for lower income people in vulnerable sites or locations. Tell our listeners more about that, because you know that's something that many practitioners know, but maybe the people who are in other parts of the affordable housing continuum they're not as familiar with?
Well, I, you know, going back to your questions about my time at HUD in the Obama administration, obviously the biggest event there that we were dealing with in our region was Superstorm Sandy. And many housing authorities, particularly those along the coast in Connecticut, they were built on some of the most vulnerable land, whether it was Bridgeport or Stamford or New Haven. And those apartments, those homes where people were living were impacted as they were in New York City. It was a much bigger impact. New York City wasn't my territory. So I dealt with those in my region, and tremendous, tremendous impact. You know, apartments that needed repairs anyhow were taken out of service, and the need to rehouse people. And the question then becomes, do we bring those apartments back online? And if we do, how do we do that? So tremendous, tremendous impact of apartments built in low-lying areas. Within the course of, what was it, 2 or 3 years, we hit the 50 and the 100-year flood line. And, you know, I know most about what I was doing in my region, but, and I obviously read about what's going on as recently as, unfortunately, last week in Kentucky and people losing their lives. We definitely have climate impact everywhere, and we need to be thinking about where we're building, how we're building, and not just for today, but for tomorrow.
On a previous podcast, I had a guest who was from Alaska, and they really brought forward so many concepts that were eye-opening as it relates to climate, affordable housing, sustainable development, and it really gave us a picture that this is not just an Alaska thing, but Alaska was saying, but this is right at our door. And they did a great job of talking about how we don't have the luxury anymore of just kind of building in a flat area and flat ground. And that's one of the things that APT, you guys have been working on, our community resilience toolkits. And Quidel, we've been, you know, working with you, and tell us more about these toolkits and what they do for potential vulnerabilities, whatever the hazards are, and how communities can work to reduce some of those.
And obviously these, a lot of the developments in these areas are also impacting our communities of color as well, the whole, you know, racial gap, where we expected people to live, and the whole history of segregation by design, to take a phrase from Richard Rothstein in his book, The Color of Law. So there's just many issues layered on top of each other. But we did, working with our environment group and our housing group together, we did create for HUD a climate resilience toolkit, which is available to anybody online, looking at drought and flooding and fires, and what can local municipal governments do as they do their planning, where to site housing, where to site other facilities in their community, right? It is the Department of Housing and Urban Development, so HUD is also funding other things in the community beyond housing and how all those pieces go together. We're now actually working with HUD to create a series of videos, right? Some people want to read the toolkit. Some people want to have a video that shows them, you know, maybe some steps, how to combine different funding sources. That's one of the challenges, right? You're in a community and your money comes in, but there's different streams. And as you know, from the work you do, sometimes the regulations don't always coordinate. So I think that some of the work we want to be doing is talking about how some of the different programs can work together better to help a municipality think about where they're building, how they're building, and thinking about what the predictions are in those places for the future. We have a toolkit that looks at inland flooding across the entire country. We can deploy and work with communities on this type of thing, public housing authorities, privately held multifamily housing, individual homeowners. Everybody needs to be thinking about this. And, you know, we hope to be doing even more. We've been in, you know, talking, there is coming from the White House, looking for more intentional work around climate issues.
Well, these resilience toolkits are great because they help identify actions to reduce some of these vulnerabilities we're talking about, and really help communities try to decide where to invest HUD funding And that's a tricky balance for several communities who are confronted with expanding affordable housing, preserving it, and then trying to prepare for these future hazards or natural disasters. And, you know, it's a difficult juggling of all the resources. These toolkits are doing a great job of helping try to prioritize and even work communities through how to prioritize what to tackle.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I got calls from around the country. Do you have something about drought or do you have something around flooding? And it's all in the toolkit. It's a great starting point. And we hope to be able to do more work to expand upon it. As I said, you know, the videos is one thing, but we can also go out and work with communities. Having the toolkit is one thing, and they got to implement it. So we do have several contracts to work on providing that day-to-day support to help communities move forward. This impacts everybody everywhere. It just impacts them differently. Some are dealing with floods, some are dealing with droughts, the fires, rising coastal shorelines. I mean, it's a variety. And then, of course, there's, you know, the whole piece on air quality indoors as well. And we do a lot on that. We have a great environmental group, and more our housing and environment group is we are working together, just like we are working more across on social determinants of health, housing and health, right? The interior of homes impacts people. Places get flooded. There's dust, there's mold impacting the health of the families and individuals who live in that housing.
Thank you for sharing that. And I want to get more into APPS research, but let's take a break. Coming up in the second part of my conversation with Barbara Fields, the Vice President of Housing and Asset Building at APT Associates. Barbara shares the three areas that APT will focus on in the future.
Equity, health, and climate would be sort of the areas for housing that I see us really beginning to do more on.
Thanks for listening to Changemakers with Katie Gore. To find out more about Katie, go to quadel.com. That's QUADEL.com. This has been a production of Forbes Books Radio.